Come to me, all who labor and are heavy burdened. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. My yoke is easy, my burden light. These very consoling words from our Lord Jesus maybe resonate for me in a different way after 13 years as a priest. Because this scripture passage is part of the rites of the anointing of the sick. And so countless times I prayed this in hospital rooms with people in distress, in pain, or nearing the end of their lives. It's changed the meaning for me of an easy yoke and a light burden. It can't mean, if this is the context in which the church wants us to pray these words, that the Lord's going to make everything easy for us. Because most often, even through the graces of this sacrament, for these folks, the physical ailments are not taken away from them. It does happen at times, or their pain is alleviated. But mostly, there's no observable difference. So how is the yoke made easier and the burden lightened by Christ? Well, in that context, the sacrament is a reminder that Christ is present with them in the midst of their suffering. And it provides hope that their suffering can have some good purpose. And it gives permission for the sick person to share this weight with the Savior. And people do truly feel alleviated by those realities. The yoke is seen to be easier and the burden lightened. How can you and I experience this kind of liberation and rest and refreshment from the Lord when we're feeling burdened in different ways in our daily lives? Well, Jesus tells us, He says, it's by having the same attitude as a little child. That childlike confidence and trust. If we have the same trust in Jesus that He has in His Father, we will experience this liberation, this rest, this refreshment. Now, brothers and sisters, what is the greatest burden that humanity carries? It's not physical illness. It's not our struggle to work and to provide for and to survive. It's not our mental and our psychological challenges. The greatest burden of humanity is sin. This is what bogs us down and weighs down our human hearts. St. Paul told us today in the letter to the Romans, in no uncertain terms, that we must strive to live in the Spirit and not in the flesh. What does he mean by this? Well, this can be very easily misinterpreted, okay? Because for Paul, flesh is not exactly equal to the physical body. Okay, we as Catholics are not dualists, thinking that the material world is opposed to or at war with the spiritual realities. That's not our worldview. Rather, we believe that we as humans are a unity of body and spirit, created by God in His image and likeness. And we believe that our whole human nature has been dignified and elevated by God taking on our human nature in Jesus, being born in the flesh, very same word that St. Paul uses, becoming one of us in order to save our souls and to restore all of the created world to its intended order. This idea is reinforced by the fact that Jesus institutes the church being not just a spiritual reality, but a structure, a hierarchical structure that we can see. And in the sacraments, these visible signs of invisible grace that God gives us, right? Our whole worldview is opposed to this concept of dualism, of the material against the spiritual. Nevertheless, Paul sets up an opposition. He says the flesh is opposed to the spirit. In Galatians, he said it even more clearly. He said in chapter 5, the flesh has desires against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other. So what does he mean by the flesh? You might remember way back from your catechism days, the word concupiscence. This is a word that we could substitute in here when St. Paul is talking about what is opposed to the spirit. Well, what's concupiscence? That's the tendency that our fallen nature has, being attracted to and inclined towards sin and rebellion against God. And concupiscence, the catechism tells us, unsettles man's moral faculties and inclines man to commit sins. Okay. This is what St. Paul is talking about. It's this inclination towards sin that is opposed to the Spirit of God in which we desire to live. In the passage just before what we heard today, and again in the letter to the Romans, he said these words: "For those who live according to the flesh are concerned with the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, with the things of the Spirit. The concern of the flesh is death, but the concern of the Spirit is life and peace. For the concern of the flesh is hostility toward God. It does not submit to the law of God, nor can it. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Okay. We don't want that. We don't want that hostility towards God. We don't want to be in a position where we could never please God. This inclination towards sin, this inborn hostility towards God, is what St. Paul is talking about. We cannot live in it and claim to live in the Spirit. This flesh, St. Paul says again in his letter to the Galatians, shows itself in the works: idolatry, impurity, outbursts of fury, drinking bouts, acts of selfishness. It's a whole long list. This is why we associate the flesh often with our lower order passions, right? Those desires that we have for food and pleasure and rest and sex. And remember, brothers and sisters, these things can be holy if we pursue them in the right way, for the right reason, in right relationship with God. But we often experience, don't we, the flesh, our sinful inclination driving and feeding these desires to make them disorder, part of our rebellion against God and His law. So we have this going on in our hearts because our fallen nature is inclined to it. St. Paul describes his own experience of this spirit of the flesh at work in him in the chapter previous to the one we heard from today. This is what he said about his own experience: "I do the evil I do not want. Sin dwells in me. I see in my members a principle at war with the law of God." And he's exasperated by this. He says, "Who will deliver me from this?" And he tells us the answer: it's Jesus Christ who will deliver us from this war that is taking place in us for our souls. Jesus is our deliverer, who can free us from living in the flesh so that we might live in the Spirit. Go back to our gospel passage. What does Jesus reveal today? He said the Father has handed all things over to the Son. That's Him, Himself, right? And the Son's mission is to reveal the Father to humanity. So what He's saying is that the inner life of God is not one of the pursuit of selfish gain, but of self-gift for the good of the other. the Father for the good of the Son for the good of the Father. And who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is this eternal gift, this eternal exchange of love in the Trinity. So therefore, what does it mean to live in the Spirit? Well, it's to enter into this life of God, this way that He exists. And the fruits of the Spirit are these selfless acts, these acts of self-giving for the good of the other. All right, Father, what are you trying to say? Okay. Do you feel a heaviness in your inner self? Are you carrying a burden? Well, in one way or another, that burden is linked to the weight of sin that clings to us because of our fallen nature. Our religion, believing and living out our faith, helps us to live in the Spirit, not in the flesh. The flesh which pulls us down towards that spiritual, in other words, eternal death. Jesus is the one who can deliver us from the inclination of our fallen nature, attracted to sin, so that we can be delivered from selfishness and able to give of ourselves freely in love. Who can deliver us from this state and this war that is being waged in our hearts? It's Jesus alone. And only those who are truly childlike live in the Spirit of Christ. Only these can truly know the meaning of His words. My yoke is easy, my burden is light.